Welcome to the Beyond Body podcast with your hosts, Mia and Holly. Join us for a sometimes fortnightly podcast
where we explore all things mental health, being a messy human, and how to get the most out of this one precious life.
And all the ridiculous stories in between. Holly, so lovely to start a Monday morning with you. It is 8 a.m. You are my first call and chat of the day. How are you going? How have you been since we last got to see the people?
I'm actually so well. I'm back up in the Northern Rivers and I've just been having such a special time. It's been a very outward season. It's been a busy season. It's been a season so full of like friendship and the end of summer. And I think it's been a big sort of closing of a lot of doors, opening of a lot of doors. So I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm happy. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, I don't think we talked about it last time we recorded, but like I had COVID when we were like did the last recording, and I'm realizing I sound exactly the same as I did before. I am no longer contagious. I don't think there's any actual active COVID, but I've just been kind of in forced rest, even though I haven't actually been doing that. So this week I am really taking my own advice. That sort of thing where it's like, I hear myself on these podcasts, I hear myself in client conversations, and I'm like, Mia, what are we doing? We're not taking our own advice here. So yeah, this week is really about like just streamlining and simplifying and resting. Not that, you know, I'm lying down, but I have my laptop on my chest and I'm still like firing away and my brain's still going at a million miles an hour. So yeah, I think it's another great lesson about like the body is such a great messenger. And if you don't listen the first 10 times, it's just going to keep knocking walls down until like there's just nothing left for you to do but go, I think I need to take a second.
It's a really good practice. I think when this happens to be get back into that discomfort of being like, oh, it actually feels really, really uncomfortable not being productive, even though it's exactly what you know you need to be able to be productive and like live this full life once more. Yeah. It's such a good test though. Like when you need to rest, it's like, it is the biggest act of self-care to listen to that.
And true rest. I think it really, when you go, if someone were to look at me, they'd go, she's resting, but it's all that internal stuff as well. Like if we don't quiet everything, the body just doesn't get a chance to like replenish and restore properly. So I'm working on it. What are we talking about today, Hol?
I mean, we're both so excited for this episode. I think, you know, our intention with this podcast is just to be really real. And I think just offer an experience of, I guess, understanding through the discussions that we have and I guess kind of referencing our own experiences of recovery and life and coaching. And, you know, we're always going to talk about eating disorders. It's really obviously our bread and butter, but I think we also want to just have conversations that are just human conversations. And that's kind of what today is about. So there's something we really want to talk to everyone about today, and it's friendship, particularly the power of female friendship. And this is actually going to be sort of the first of a three-part series, I guess, where we both talk to our best girlies, which is super exciting.
Yeah. Josie and I just recorded this last weekend. I've got your recording with your best mate. And I think they'll be really beautiful conversations for people to listen to and hopefully, you know, get something out of those conversations. But we obviously wanted to come together and discuss this topic because it's something that we're both really passionate about. It's another thing which has just accidentally kind of shown up within the retreats that we run as well, which I think that's why it might be top of mind, because we're about to head into a new retreat in like 3 weeks, because we've seen friendship blossom out of those retreats. And I think it comes up in client work as well. So as much as we might explore topics that feel like they only run parallel or like they're in the realm, they're actually also interconnected when we think about things like help seeking, support systems, connection, all of those, you know, really key areas of recovery that might not feel like the core obvious areas, but they definitely are supportive of like long-term, health and wellness in terms of maintaining your well-being that you've hopefully been able to claw back in the recovery process.
Oh, absolutely. Because I think there's this beautiful quote, God knows who said this, but someone, I've read this many times, and someone says, you don't meditate to be a better meditator, you meditate to be a better human. And I see recovery like being the same thing. Like you don't do recovery to be good at recovery, you do recovery so you can get the most out of life. And that's kind of sort of what you're saying there, like this whole thing about is about becoming whole again, and a big part of living a full life and becoming whole again, I guess, is connection, and friendship is such an important part of that.
Absolutely. Like I even look at, and we've touched on this a little bit previously before, which is like the contrast between the friendships and the life that I led when I was unwell versus the friendships and the life that I led before and after my eating disorder, because the before and after are actually very, very similar. That's a lot of the same people. It's a lot of the same patterns. It's a lot of the same like socializing, but with deeper connection and vulnerability, not just like going out and kind of like ticking boxes socially, being like, well, I went out, like I spent time with people. It's like, well, what did you talk about? What was your actual experience of it? Versus in my eating disorder, when I was surrounded by a very different group of people, neither better or worse, good or bad, just not necessarily really people who were probably meant for me. And there was a really lack of sort of connection and depth in those interactions because I just didn't have capacity for it. So I think that there would be a lot of people listening. And I think you and I have had interactions with clients that really make this topic so relevant, because I think that people really are struggling in this area or lacking in this area with an eating disorder or otherwise, because we are seeing these rates of loneliness escalating all over the world. It is much more prevalent in sort of the sort of cis male population, but we are seeing it more so showing up across all demographics, which is not a surprise post-COVID, but there are more and more women reporting a real lack of connection and friendship in their lives, which is really concerning, because loneliness is actually an enormous contributor to some really, really poor health outcomes.
Yeah, it's so interesting you mention loneliness there. I feel like friendship has been such a big area of my life over the last month. And subsequently, I've also sort of then gone from this shift of, I feel like loneliness was actually a really big theme for me in 2023 because I was moving around a lot. And I was traveling, and naturally, you know, I don't have a community of friends everywhere I go. And I'm really good at being on my own. Like I really like that. But even still, it's not until I've been back here and I've been, you know, spending so many, like just friendship has been my 100% focus. And it's just been like wines with girlfriends and sitting on like each other's bedroom floors and just laughing and walking on the beach. And it wasn't until I was experiencing these things again that I was like, oh my God, I was in such lack of this without really realizing. And I'm a big believer that, you know, you can't grow in every area of your life at once. And for a while, with the last sort of year or so, just focusing on me and focusing on work has been my focus. And that was my choice. And that's, I'm so grateful I've done that. But wow, coming back and spending time with friends again and my best girlfriends, it has actually just been magic. And it's almost been this process being like, whoa, there was this part of me that was lacking that I didn't even realize was lacking. And it was this feeling of loneliness because I didn't feel I didn't feel complete without this experience of community. Because I even think, I don't know, I feel like this whole episode is going to be this like in real time processing because I'm feeling really emotional today.
Safe space, everyone. Okay, I've got mine.
I don't even have my hanky.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I feel like a big theme of my 20s has been loneliness. And I'm a really social person. And of course, that was part of I'm a very social person in general, but a big part of the loneliness was, of course, my eating disorder. So sort of when you speak about loneliness there before, it really pulls this heartstring, because having understood loneliness in so many different seasons of my life and then being able to have the opposite experience, it's not something that I would ever wish on anyone. I think there's sort of this like beautiful Liz Gilbert quote. I don't think, maybe she says it in Eat, Pray, Love, but she's like, loneliness, like no one is scared of loneliness. It's the fact that they feel like loneliness will never end. That's what people are scared of. It's rather like you can get through the night, like you can call a friend, like you can do something. So I think sort of even just to battle one of, like, it is the most normal human experience to feel lonely. We're all supposed to feel it. Yeah. We all will feel it. It'll come and it'll go, right? But I think to be able to develop friendships that can sort of be the antidote to that, it is such a foundation of, I think, a supported human experience. Because, like, we're pack animals, right? Like, we need to be around other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we're kind of answering the first question that I had noted down, which is, like, why did we want to talk about this topic? And I think it's coming through, which is so much of it is from our own lived experience of, like, even that contrast of friendship and our eating disorder versus pre and post. and sort of our own values that come through, and our, you and I are very similar in that sense, like very naturally kind of independent people. So I'm not really good at even noticing when I'm lonely. Like when you, what you mentioned there, like when you see someone and you spend really good, vulnerable, open, like heart to heart time with them, and you're like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that I was missing this. That's often my experience. Like, it's kind of like, you know, when you feel out of sorts and then you grab a glass of water and you just like chug it down and you're like, I didn't even realize I was thirsty. Like I was irritated. Yeah. I was like tired. I was feeling lethargic. I was actually like anxious. And then I had this huge glass of water and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even realize I was dehydrated. That's very often how I feel after I've socialized, because my default is very often to be, you know, very introspective and like spend time alone and process alone, etc., and like still be in contact with people, but that real sort of like connection and like quality time spent with somebody, I will often not even realize that I'm missing it until I'm right in it.
Like last Friday night, I was walking home after a gig with a really special girlfriend, and we were just talking and walking and talking about families and hopes and dreams, and it just felt like such a long time since I had done that. And it's the most simple experience, like walking home sore feet, just so content with each other's company. And I thought in those hours, like this is everything I needed. And honestly, sometimes that's all I needed, for some to have a conversation with someone where you feel so seen and you're so interested in what they're saying. It just really brought up for me, it's so important in your life to spend time with people who see the goodness in you and also bring it out of you. You know, those friends that you spend time with and you're like, I actually feel like I'm a better person around you.
Yeah. Josie and I discussed that. That'll come up in our conversation as well, is about, you know, she and I are so similar in so many ways and so different in such key ways as well. Mm. And what we talked about is that I will see attributes of hers that I find really admirable, or I wish that I was more like, and instead of being comparative and sort of diminishing myself, she is such an inspiration to me. And she's someone who I, you know, want that guidance from, of like, how do you do that? And like, how do you have the confidence to, and she was like, same straight back at you, you know, those things that I feel like are weaknesses of mine or gaps of mine. Like I see what your capacity is or capability is. And I'm like, I want to be closer to that. I want to witness that and, you know, try to replicate that for myself. So yeah, I, all these things that are byproducts of like, yeah, it's great to have a laugh and it's great to connect and it's great to like just be social, but there's all, with the right people in your orbit, like there's all of these beautiful deeper layers to what friendship can really be, and particularly female friendship. So over the course of your life, what difference do you think the female friendships that you've gravitated towards, what difference do you think they've made to choices you've made, the person you are, the experiences you've been able to have? What do you think are the key contributors?
Just on that point that you said before, about the conversation that you guys had, I actually love how you framed that with the comparison, because I actually acknowledge that it is so normal in friendships for there to be a level of envy. But I think how you're framing it is that you girls have such effective communication that it really brings light to the fact that we can like almost have like a bit of an envy for someone else's life, but also equally hold happiness and admiration for them. It's sort of like saying to a friend, you know, I'm so proud that you're achieving so much in your career, but maybe sometimes it reminds me that I'm struggling in my own. So it's like to be able to have both two of those sides, it really is such a testament to a really deep relationship, whether it's not comparison. It's actually really productive and really useful. But to actually answer your question, friendships in my life, it's kind of different to you. You know, you sort of said that you've had a lot of the similar friendships throughout your life, that the nature of them has just changed. I've had a lot of different friendship groups and friends in my life as I've kind of evolved and changed. So my best girlfriend, Ava, who I had a chat with, we are not childhood friends by any means. We've only been in each other's lives for about 5 or 6 years, but in that time, our lives have changed so dramatically. And that is like boyfriends, cities, career paths, like styles, things we're interested in. Like nothing is consistent. Nothing has been consistent except for the love that we hold for each other. And I think that relationship has shown me so much about what it means to be a friend in through changing times, because it's so interesting to reflect when this, the, I guess, like system or environment that brought the friendship together fades away, because that's life and everything changes. What is going to hold the friendship together? So it's like when the share house or the job or uni or whatever is gone, is the friendship going to be strong enough to withhold time? What are you going to do there differently? So I feel like that has been such a powerful lesson for me in figuring out, how do I actually have to show up? What's actually important to me here? And there has very much been times where I would say that I have not been a good friend. My friendship has not been a priority, where I've gone into a relationship and been like, see ya, to friendships for a period. And then I think the older I get and the more I mature, you know, I think there's just so much focus on romantic love.
Yes.
But I feel like platonic love is so expansive.
Mm-hmm.
And friendships are that. I actually think I have learned the most about love through friendships
mm-hmm.
in my life than through romantic relationships.
Yeah.
My friendships, without my core female friendships, I would definitely be a lot dimmer. My light would not be nearly as bright, because my friends have believed in me when I haven't believed in myself.
Yeah.
And I now feel like I do have a lot of confidence in who I am, and I am quite self-assured. But that's because people were able to see that before I was able to see that.
I'm getting quite emotional.
I think it's going to be a really emotional ep.
Yeah, because like you're right. Like I think about even the last few years, and like Josie's going to be like, why didn't you say this to me and cry at my face? Which I should, like, the conversation just didn't go in this direction. But like, yes, when I think about those contrasts of like when I've had my closer female friendships in my life and when I haven't, like that's when I've drifted so far from my core self. And then over the last few years, like especially with Josie, like I don't think I would have even like survived a lot of what I've been through in the last few years without her. And, you know, Josie and I talked about as well, like the emphasis on like romantic friendship, romantic relationships, and a romantic friendship too. I mean, blur the lines, go for it. Like whatever makes you happy. But the emphasis on that, I think, just so undercuts like the beauty and the unconditional nature of friendship, right? Like romantic relationships aren't necessarily always unconditional love. Like there are prerequisites and expectations. Like we've got bloody terms for them, like love languages, and like write a list out of like your ideal partner and blah, blah, blah. Whereas, and you know, there's also like then the romantic kind of scorekeeping that can then happen there. Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
Totally.
What I'm doing for you, and da, da, da. And then there's like the intimacy piece as well, which people feel entitled to physically. Entitled might not be the right word, but do you know what I mean? Like there's a lot more conditional. There's a lot more potential for there to be like conditional traps in like romantic relationships. Whereas with the friendships that are my core friendships, like there's no conditions. There's no tit for tat scorekeeping, or, you know, like having to have like a contract and agreement of like how you're going to, you know, traverse the entirety of your relationship together. It is just, it's one of the most beautiful relationships I really believe that you can have, because it is, I think it's one of the few, other than hopefully familial relationships, not for everyone, but hopefully everyone has at least someone where there is an unconditional love there. But I really think that's how I define a lot of my friendships, is like it is just totally unconditional. Show up however you are, in whatever state you are in whatever stage of life you're in, and you will be like loved and supported, not always perfectly and not always, you know, without tension or friction or difficult conversations or more communication or whatever it is. But yeah, I would agree with that statement. Like I've learned a lot more about like true love from friendship than I ever have in any romantic relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is just feels like it's such an emotional conversation because a lot of the things we're talking about, they're so, a lot of these realizations have only really come into clarity for me really recently. So I feel like I've had this like huge, I don't know, like light bulb of being like, oh my God, friendships need to be the most important thing because they are like your chosen family. And then but I also think, you know, no meaningful friendship is going to be consistently easy. Even the closest friends, we're going to neglect or misinterpret each other or say the wrong thing. And, you know, sometimes feel rejected by change when life stages pull us apart. But I think if a friendship is strong, and this is a big thing that I'm learning, you're going to allow each other's space to develop in those like novel and unexpected ways rather than like clinging on to the old versions of who you once were.
Yes.
And I think sometimes that really requires you to say to a friend, like, actually, I don't feel that way about this anymore. Or rather than letting them make assumptions about who you are today based on your shared past. Because
yes.
I think, you know, I've really been almost like grieving friendships since I've been here. And then, but I've also realized that I think friendships, they go wrong when you don't tell each other who you are. And what I mean by that, like as time changes, like you need to tell people like, this is what I care about. This is who I am. And also create the space to listen to how they've changed. And then the beauty is that of that is like some friendships will stay with you and some won't. And if they don't, that's okay. Not all friendships are going to last forever. And I do feel like it's such a adult normal thing to maturely outgrow friendships as well.
And to, you know, safely put in boundaries and like realize when something maybe just truly isn't healthy or isn't, you know, a dynamic that you should be in anymore. Yeah, absolutely. Like that's, I think that there are friendships, like I always call myself like a collector, like from every season of my life, I collect at least like one person who becomes like a core person, whether it's like Josie and I met when I was five, like friendships from high school, friendships from like uni days, that kind of season of my life. I, there always tends to be like one key person who I like take with me. And I'm like, that's it. This is for life now. Sorry. I don't know if I told you or you knew this was part of the agreement, but this is how it is now. And I've definitely had friendships come and go, and, you know, friendships that I thought would last forever have gone. And I've had to move away from, and you know, sometimes these things are very seasonal. Sometimes the people are meant to be in your life for a season, for, you know, that, what is that absolute cliche, like season, a reason, or a lifetime, or whatever that, you know, stencil on a wall saying is, like live, laugh, love. I'm so sensitive to this when talking to clients about it, because I can see so much grief in people for lost friendship or, you know, seasons of life that have brought certain relationships or connections to a close, or, you know, people who feel like their eating disorder has really impacted their support system and who they're connected to. And so I think I've said in podcasts before, like, don't permanently close the door on anything. If a friendship has come to an end because of illness or because, you know, there's been some aberration in your life or disruption to your mental health, or, you know, someone's moved overseas for an extended period of time, and, you know, therefore you've got out of the routine of being in contact with each other, to not permanently close the door on any of those connections. Yes, some things are naturally supposed to leave your life. But I think if you've got that little yearning or that little like, what if, or question mark at the end of a connection, to like not totally close the door on it.
I agree. I think to sustain a friendship, whether it's old or new, I think we have to learn to accept distance and when to fight to repair. I think inevitably there will be some friendships that do slip away completely, and in others there might be months or years where you just have to give each other space to disappear. And maybe that's a form of love too.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think are the things that jump out at you when you think of your like core female friendships? What are the things that you can see as sort of the draw cards, the things that show you like, this is one of my people, this is like a safe place, this is a joyful place, this is a peaceful place, whatever. What do you think are those things that you look out for that contribute to that feeling of, you know, this is one of my people?
I think to me, a big thing for friendship is really a feeling. It's someone's energy. It's how they sort of carry themselves in the world. It's their level of kindness. I think their level of being curious about the world. I'm so in awe of people who are curious and interested, just about like anything. If someone's passionate, that's such a quality of friendship I'm so attracted to. I also think I love being around friends who bring out qualities of myself that aren't like I can't easily access on my own. Like, for example, Ava, she's so like, she's chaos and beautiful chaos. And she's like, we're just children together. Like when I was staying with her and her partner recently, like we like play pranks. Like we're like get just become like children again. And it's so childish and it's so beautiful and it's so joyous. Cause I just feel like play is such an important quality of life, and it's something I've really embraced in the last few years. And she is that. She's just this display of play and silliness and not taking things too seriously. So I think with anyone who brings out those qualities in me is amazing. But also then there's some other friendships that I have where that friend is such an amazing conversationalist, and they ask you questions and it helps you reveal more about yourself that you didn't even know needed, all these things that didn't even know needed to be said. So I think like deep conversations with friends are so, so important to me as well. I think it's maybe the just innate feminine nature of like women. We just instinctually know how to nourish each other, and sometimes just being with each other is so restorative.
Like you said, it's a feeling. And Josie and I, like I asked Josie like for three words that she would use to describe our friendship. And I came like back with mine, and we both chose honest, like very honest, in both of our, how we communicate. Like, you know me, I can't be anything but honest. My face will tell you, even if my mouth isn't telling you. But with Josie and I, by that I mean we can be honest and vulnerable and just be totally open with each other and meet at each other exactly where we are. But honest also in what we want for each other. That if we think that there is something going on, or they are treating themselves in such a way that's like, that's not actually good enough for my friend. Like the way that you're talking to yourself isn't good enough for my friend. The way you're being treated isn't good enough for my friend. I referenced in our chat together, like I had a dating situation in January that was very love bomby, very gaslighty, very like me caught in a fog of someone communicating in a way where I really couldn't catch my breath and see what was going on. And she just sent me a couple of voice notes just being like, just take a minute. And I just want you to think about it from this perspective. And just those couple of voice notes empowered me to like have some really healthy boundaries, to allow myself to take a minute to be like, do you know what? This isn't actually what I want, or I don't actually want to be treated like this. I don't feel good. This isn't good enough for me. And vice versa. Like Josie's in a beautiful, solid, long-term relationship with someone who we've both known. Like I was there when they met, when they were like in their early 20s and went through all their ups and downs. And now they've got their daughter Nina, and it's like beautiful. And Owen is an absolute legend. But like she might have friendship situations where I'm having the same difficult conversation back with her, like, Jose, look at it through this lens, or think about it this way, or what if it was Nina, or what if it was me, or, and we can help each other without going, oh, you know, that's a no-go area. There's really no, when it comes to her well-being or her happiness or anything that makes up who she is, if any of that's in jeopardy, like, we're going to talk about it. And same back the other way, even if it's something I don't want to hear. She is the one person where I will immediately drop my defenses of like, oh, hang on a minute, you can't. And whatever she says comes right in. Even if I don't agree with it, there's no sense of like pride or like, I don't want to hear that because I just don't want to hear it. If Josie's saying it, like it's worth listening to. Again, like in my worst moments, my best moments, like Josie shows up no matter what. Even if it's like the same boring conversation about grief, or it's the same, you know, processing of something that's taking a long time to process, or it's something that's come back around again, like anxiety spells or whatever, whatever either of us are struggling with, like showing up with the same amount of care and energy and dedication when it's really fun to be around and when it's really bloody awful to like walk through with somebody.
It's so expansive hearing about the relationship between the two of you, because I think that core level of safety is so important, particularly when you do have to have those hard conversations, like particularly when, say, a friend has made a random decision, or like continuing to go back to an ex, or like whatever it is, of being like, yo, sis, like, what's actually going on here? Like, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a level of maturity for you both to be like, put down the guard.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the time to be reactive. Like, it's the time to listen and receive, even if it's what you, even if you don't agree with what the friend's saying, right? Yeah. I feel like I've definitely been on the receiving end of that before, where friends are like, hey, like, what's going on here? And I'm like, nope, don't want to hear it. Which is like, it's just, it literally goes to show, well, that's probably means that I do need to hear it because I'm shutting it down, and there's a reason for it. Mm. I feel like you, like that relationship that you're describing should be what everyone strives for, because relationships, friendships, like the long-term friendships, they're not always going to be easy. I think it's like, you know, you build the house with someone, but you got to do the housekeeping. Like you got to like work on the relationship all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, it's like your relationship to your body, right? It's like, we don't just do the body image work and then you're like smooth sailing. Like you got to work on that all the time.
Yeah.
You got to like put in that consistent effort as things are going to change through life.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, being able to find, like, because the thing is, we didn't always do it perfectly. Like when I had my eating disorder, I was not receptive. That's a big reason why we didn't talk for a couple of years. And I think that was something that we, when we came back together, we really learned from that. And that's something that we've consistently been able to do, is like, look at the big moments where things, we've been able to do things really well in our friendship, or things haven't gone so well, and be able to adjust and go, well, we don't want a repeat of that. So like but again, it's that you've got to have that safe, honest space to come from, to be like, can we have that uncomfortable conversation? Which is so much of what I talk to clients about when I say that, you know, don't close the door. It might be that the friendship hasn't actually come to an end. It's just that it requires a level of like honesty and communication that you guys haven't ever attempted
before.
Because when I look at how Josie and I ended up, you know, not speaking for a couple of years when I was unwell, versus like the things that we've gone through since, we have been able to use that to strengthen our friendship, where, you know, it came up in conversation. Nina, her daughter, who's like my niece, she was born a couple, like just as I was going to America to take care of dad. So I didn't meet Nina when she was born. I didn't meet her until I got back from the States. And then obviously dad died. So Josie was in like the newborn mother stage.
Wow. And
she's gone through this traumatic loss, like with the way that dad died.
Wow.
And just like a shell of a person. And yet we were able to support each other through these vastly, like, diametrically opposite life experiences, that like new life and death, because we, the first priority is like what's important to that person right now. And I don't need to have gone through that experience to support someone I love through an enormous event in their life. Because as you said at the top of the chat, like the love is the thing that has kept us together. Do you know what I mean? It's not based on schedules and like social calendar and like, do we live next door to each other or whatever? Like the thing that binds us is the love. So whether or not she's going through something I've never been through or vice versa, we can navigate that together because the love is the most important thing. I don't need to have walked in her shoes to love her through something that is as enormous as what she went through, and the same back the other way. We did it not so well the first time. And I think that that's something that we do really well now, is just like, showing up.
Well, I feel like what you're describing is also like an experience that I'm living through with friends at the moment, particularly Ava, for the first time since we've probably known each other. We're in like the most different lives ever. She's like in the burbs, bought a house, like trying for a baby, and I couldn't be further from that.
Yeah.
And it's been really beautiful to witness how we're showing up for friendship in these very different experiences. Because I think, you know, at the beginning, we didn't have to like call each other up and like inform each other about what's going on in our lives, because we were literally witnessing it. Like we were so, like we were living together, like we were so intertwined, and it's really different now. But, and this also means that, you know, over, as things change, our capacity for each other is going to change. because we're learning to share the space with partners and babies and businesses and mortgages and whatever. But I'm coming to learn, and like, it's been a hard lesson to learn as well, that the more diverse experiences we have, it actually means it's, I guess it's the more reference points for the love that we have for each other, of like, how do we support in this time? How do we learn from each other? Because I think, you know, we're both, it's like any relationship, there needs to be space for you both to grow as individual people, and like the tether is still going to be there, and sometimes it's tighter and sometimes it's looser, but it's always there, and you're also always can like tighten it when you need to. But yeah, it's been, I don't know, adult friendship is, I think as soon as you sort of hit like mid late 20s 30s, you're like hit with so many different things that are going to change the format of friendship, I think, and you have to evolve with that. I think when I was in my early 20s, I thought this is how it's going to be forever and nothing's going to change, and that's a sign of like life's going really good. Like, newsflash, your life changes heaps when you're an adult, like all the time. So I feel like therefore friendships are going to change as you're changing and you're evolving, and you got to stay like agile to it.
Why do you think some people struggle to find connection through, whether we want to go specific as like female friendship or just more broadly like friendship itself? Why do you think people, what is this about this increasing loneliness or isolation or, you know, lack of connection to friendship that we're seeing showing up statistically?
I think there's a few things that are at play here. I think a big one is fear of rejection, of feeling like then they're not going to be liked or not going to be appreciated, or which really, I mean, this is, can be very intertwined with eating disorders, because if there's a, there's a strong focus on other people's opinions, or what other people think about us, it can really stop people from being able to show up authentically. And that's a huge problem. I feel like if you don't feel safe to show up authentically, it is really gonna have a bit of a cap on how deep the relationship can be, because vulnerability is what is going to lead to authentic connection. It's what's gonna strengthen a relationship. I definitely have had friends over the years that I felt like we, like, you know, potential could have been friends, but there wasn't a shared experience of vulnerability, and that kind of made me feel like we actually can't kind of go below the surface here. And for me, that's going to mean that the friendship isn't going to be, it's like, it's going to be temporary, really, I think. So I feel like fear of rejection is going to be a really, really big one, and also not knowing yourself and not knowing what you want and who you want to spend time around as well.
Yeah, I think that it's that, I, what you said before is so beautiful, of like, how do you want to feel? How do you want to feel in the presence of those people who have the label friend? And I think that we have a very kind of like surface representation sometimes of friendship, and it's a little, you know, it's about being social, and it's about being out and about, and it's, out, you know, it's about, you know, which bar you're at, Sex and the City style on a Friday. And it's like, is that really a feeling, or is it kind of like the surface box ticking of like what friendship looks like versus how it feels? I think meditating on that, as far as how do you want to feel in the presence of others? That's the other thing. Like, it's also, you know, different friendships are going to play different roles. They're going to meet different needs, right? Like, I will often say to people when we're working through the help seeking stuff, and they're saying, and we go into a lot of this at the retreat in my workshop, which is looking at your support system, your friendship group, what, like all the relationships in your life is a mosaic, that you have like a list of needs and you've got a list of people, and no one person on that list is going to meet every single need, right? Like for Jose and I, we're both homebodies. So we spend a lot of time in each other's homes. Like, we will, if we haven't caught up for a while, we literally will put like a slideshow presentation together of like the bullet points that we need to talk about. Because we're having a sleepover and we're like, we've got 12 hours and we have to get through everything. And part of that needs to be sleep as well. Whereas other friends of mine are like the, no, like, I need to get dressed up and I need to go out for dinner and like have a dance and then come home and, you know, just be full of, you know, that lovely, joyful, frenetic energy of being out and about. Josie's not the person that I would do that with, because we'd like be getting ready and then be like, do you want to just come over and get a pizza and a couple of bottles of wine? I'll like, we'll go through the presentation. Like, that, there's these different needs that we have that we need to match with who is in our orbit and who's in our circle. So yeah, I think that connecting to like, what are all the different experiences and feelings that I want to connect to in the presence of my friends, and then using that as a bit of a guide, because it's one of those things that you can just drift from without even realizing. but I think, yes, rejection, and also, and you and I have talked about this as even a separate podcast episode, like fear of intimacy, like true friendship, just like romantic relationships, requires true intimacy, walls down, guards down, prepared to show up exactly as you are, not trying to put, you know, a perfect veneer on everything, not putting emotional distance between you and someone else because you're afraid of what they're going to see and how they're going to judge or how they're going to react, etc. Which eating disorders are so the poster child for those two things, right? Fear of rejection and fear of intimacy. How do you think you've overcome, like, do you think that that was a feature for you, like at times, like fear of rejection and fear of intimacy in those kinds of relationships?
110%, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I think particularly if you have had experiences in your life where you have felt rejected, which I definitely have, whether it's from like my upbringing or like high school or something, I think you can so easily sabotage friendships without actually knowing that it's an attempt at safety. But ultimately, the only way that we're going to be able to create secure relationships with our people is by taking a risk, right? Of being like, putting yourself out there, like being vulnerable and not necessarily needing for it to be received in a certain way, but knowing that you can be vulnerable. You might get rejected, but you're going to be okay, because there is going to be times where people don't like us, and that's okay. I feel like I've said this in a podcast before, but it's like what a girlfriend said to me once. She's like, you know what, Hull, you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but you are an English breakfast, so you will be most people's cup of tea. And it's just the thing, it's like, we can't be, if we're so scared of rejection, then we're not even going to put ourselves out there. But what if rejection isn't as bad as we think it is? I think if you're backing yourself and you're trusting of who you are, it's okay if someone doesn't like you.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally not a sign that your character is weak. Like, there's people in the world who are probably incredible people who, like, I just don't vibe with, and they probably feel the same about me. It's fine. We're just different people. Like, we're just all humans. So I think fear of rejection was a huge one for me, and a big way for me to really overcome that was, first of all, being okay. Well, trusting that I'm going to be okay when it does happen, because inevitably it will happen. And that really looks like working on also like your emotional tolerance for a lot of these negative feelings.
Yeah.
So that was a big one. What was the other one? Fear of intimacy. Fear of intimacy, again, it's something that we kind of consider, oh, like romantic relationships, you got to let your walls down, you got to like let that person in. But fear of intimacy in friendships is also huge. But I also think it's maybe a bit easier to access and sort of like put your, like dip your toe in a bit of what intimacy could actually feel like in friendships as opposed to romantic relationships.
Yeah, completely. I think that the fear of intimacy piece is, it's something that people need to work on, obviously, in tandem with working on their relationship with themselves, right? Where it's like you getting really familiar with who you are is such an important part of like creating that magnet of who is meant for you and like who you're going to be bringing into your circle. But at the same time, we have to be disproving the fears and the beliefs that we have about how people are going to respond to us or how lovable or worthy we are or whatever it is, right? So that's one of my favorite things to do with people, is to be like, it's okay to seek out experiences which disprove some of these beliefs that you have about how people are going to treat you or respond to you, etc. Because as you say, that's not me saying to them, and it's always going to go perfectly, and like everyone's going to love you and it's all going to be wonderful. It's seeing it through a much more neutral lens of, if someone's not for you, that's not a value judgment that is then assigned to you. It's a compatibility thing, right? It's like, it's not meant for you and you're not meant for them. I think we need to take that approach with romantic relationships as well, when we talk about things like rejection, etc., that it's some indictment on you as a person or your value. And it's like, this is a compatibility issue. Like, this is just not, this is an indicator that like this long-term just doesn't have sustainability behind it. So I think that there's a couple of things that people can be doing. First and foremost, that relationship with self is the most important relationship that you're going to work on. But I think sometimes people can then take that attitude, especially in recovery, of like, I've got to wait until I'm fully baked as a human being before I get out and I start seeking out connection. I start restoring friendships or finding new friendships, et cetera. It's like, well, no, that part of the making of you and your sense of self is going to be going out and doing the exposure therapy and the collecting of the evidence that it's okay for you to put yourself out there, that, you know, you are actually going to have reflected back to you. Like you said, those reminders of like who you are and who you want to be in the world. Friendship is such an important mirror and anchor in that sense, of like bringing you back to your core self.
Absolutely. And also looking at, like, you're right, it's like the thing is you actually have to put yourself out there to have those experiences that are going to be the new reference point. So proud of clients when they go to these little like meet up girl groups or something, or like sign up for an art class or something, or meet up with a new friend on like Bumble Friends. That's fantastic. I can tell you, when I'm in Europe this year, that's what I'm going to be doing to meet people. Yeah. Meeting some girlfriends on Bumble Friends. You actually have to put yourself out there, and it's another form of discomfort. But the thing is, if you're going through recovery or gone through recovery, discomfort is not a new phenomenon to you. It's just in a different manifestation. Like, you're already doing it. It's just, you sort of do it in a different way. It's like, if you're able to sit with discomfort around meeting your meal plan and not going for that walk, you can do it with trying to meet a new friend to put yourself in the position of like, okay, this is uncomfortable. I've got to trust that I can do it. We have to do hard things. Like, this is how we grow.
Yeah.
And it's the same in a friendship sense. And then another thing I think as well is what you're saying, be so aware of what are the narratives that are actually stopping you from being able to follow through with things. Because also, if you are in this narrative of lack, which I didn't realize that I would had actually been in recently, of being like, I don't, you know, I'm feeling lonely. Like, I don't, no one's around. Like, I feel like I don't have enough. I want more. I want a community. I want these things. But that's okay. Valid, but also be aware of, what do you have? What is working? What are the people that are showing up? How can you actually kind of shift from like lack to abundance of being like, but these people are here and they're really caring for me. What if I'm showing up for these relationships as well? I think we can always, it's very easy to get into that mentality of like, I don't have enough. I want this. I want more, but rather shifting, be like, but what do I have? You know, particularly if you are someone who is feeling lonely, it can be so easy to be in that narrative by default, but it's not necessarily serving you. Yes, lack and loneliness can show you this is what I want, but also make sure we have a focus on what actually do you have.
Yes, absolutely. Where it might be more avoidance by like going and running around trying to find it elsewhere, where it's like, actually, I just need to look at what I've got through a different lens, and I might actually see that it's a bit more shiny than I was giving it credit for.
Totally. And I also think, you know, if you're in this energy of no one's going to like me, like I have no friends, I want to connect with people, but I can't. It's like, I mean, we're probably not giving off the best energy.
No, a bit low vibe.
It's a bit low vibe.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, without, this is also like in balance with healthy boundaries, et cetera, but it's like, how are we first and foremost showing up, right? Like, what's the thing that we're setting by our own behavior, which is not to say that like we just people please and we show up for everyone all the time and, you know, don't have boundaries and don't expect something to be reciprocal. But it's, I think if we look at it through the lens of like, no, I'm setting the standard for my friendships and my relationships by my own conduct. And if somebody doesn't match that energy, it's okay for me to go, okay, that might be an indicator that this is either for me or not really for me at all.
Totally.
Yeah. So if someone is struggling in this area, whether or not it's, you know, because they've been isolated by their eating disorder or for a variety of reasons, they might be somebody who really kind of fell into that trap of prioritizing, say, romantic relationships and didn't water kind of the friendship garden so much and are finding that that's impacted them, or it might even be post-COVID struggling to get back into those circles and into that sort of friendship space. What suggestions would we make for somebody who's feeling like there is a major lack for them at the moment?
I think first of all, start small. Get really clear on what are you actually seeking in a friendship? What is friendship to you? How do you want to show up? And is it friendship or is it just connection? So can you be really working on your connection with yourself? Because I think when you're able to shift loneliness into solace, that's a very powerful experience of being actually content in your own company. And then also, if it is connection, can you just start by engaging in small experiences of connection, like Maybe you need to get out of the house, go to your local coffee shop, like talk to a stranger. All these things as well, I think, can just facilitate a little bit of connection. I mean, I think you would probably experience this as well. Like sometimes we work from home and like literally we would leave the house for like 2 days. Then I'll talk to the barista and I'm like, whoa, human connection. That was nice.
Eye contact. Isn't there a screen? What a moment. What an experience.
Yeah. And also remember that, like, I think loneliness and seeking friendship, it can feel like this really isolating experience. And like, it is very, very common. There are so many little ways to engage with people. Join an art class. Join my book club, everyone. Or like talk to someone about how you're feeling as well. I think loneliness feels so much bigger when we keep it inside and we don't share it. You have to be a bit bold, I think. You know, I've moved to a new city many times, and my like number one way of like making girlfriends is I'll meet someone, and whether they're like the girl doing my eyebrows or like working at the grocery store or at a cafe, and I'll meet them a few times, and we'll have a bit of a vibe, and then I'll literally ask them out on a girl date. Like, we should get a wine sometimes. Like, we should have a coffee. I have met some of my best friends through doing this. The worst case, like, what are they going to say? No, can't have a boyfriend. Like, I feel like girls always want to make more friends and being like, absolutely.
I think that is part of it, is like someone in that interaction has to be bold and has to be brave, because what we're hearing, and that's the other thing, like just look at the statistics. Most people at the moment, or at least like half the population, is really feeling very isolated and very lonely. So the chances are that, you know, you're going to get a bad response is actually not very high if we just look at the fact that people are craving this kind of connection at the moment. So yeah, I think like anything, it requires being bold and being brave. But if, as you said, if you're someone who's been through any part of the recovery process, that is not a new concept to you. And there are endless dividends and, you know, benefits to putting out that little bit of bravery. I think friendship is one that it just keeps paying for itself over and over and over and over again. So if there's any area worth being bold and brave in, it's this one.
I also think it's so easy to take it for granted because, you know, we have friends from such a young age to be like, yeah, friendship is this like consistent thing through life. And then when it has to share the stage with like relationships and babies and careers, it can get kind of pushed to the bottom of not being a priority because it's this thing that has always been there. But I think what I'm learning as I get closer to 30 is friendships should be one of the most important things in your life because they will be there the entire time. Like, I was looking at a photo the other day of our friends miss like 3 years ago with a bunch of my best girlfriends, and like everyone's partners are there. None of those partners are consistent. Like, no one is still with those people, but all the girlfriends are. I'm like, whoa, hold on to your girlfriends. They're gonna hang around.
Yeah, they're your anchor. They are your anchor. Like I said, like that getting to know yourself is so important, but letting people be those anchors for you, and friendship is like such an important anchor because it will bring you back to yourself, whether it's the end of a relationship or you're struggling with your mental health or it's a big life transition or whatever it is. Like they will be that reminder of, they're just a beautiful mirror, you know, like you said, of parts of you that you probably want to see in yourself. So having those people around when life is tumultuous or chaotic to be like, oh, that's what I've got to get back to. Like the way that person sees me, that's, you know, that's sort of the light at the end of the tunnel of like who I'm trying to get back to.
Totally. My last piece of advice would also be, I think you can be it's so easy to be so consumed in your own world when you're experiencing something like loneliness. But to actually like send a message to someone and let them know that you care about them or you're really appreciative for who they are and, you know, you're grateful for their presence in your life and be interested in what's going on in their life. Like that act of service, I think so often can kind of pull you out of your own little dark tunnel of like, I want more friends and I'm feeling a lot of lack in this area, but like be interested in someone else's life. I feel like that can also be a really powerful experience.
Kind of like that. Be the friend that,
Yeah, absolutely.
set the standard. I think this has been a beautiful meditation on female friendship. And I hope it's something, like I said, that people will either can like explore more of in their life or keep the door open to, or maybe just think about a friendship that they've lost contact with, or they feel like the door is closed and realizing maybe that door is a bit more cracked open and that there's a door handle on your side of the door too. So like you can open it and peek in and see what's going on the other side. But yeah, love this topic. I think it's actually sparked for me an opportunity for us to even explore topics down the track of like loneliness and like that love what you said about loneliness versus solace and you know, that opportunity to like change how you maybe view that time alone. I love that. I think that's something we can definitely come back to. But as always, if you want us to talk about anything, if you've got any questions, if you've got any feedback, we love to read it. We love to see it. We love to hear it. And we will be back in a couple of weeks with another episode because I feel like we're back on a schedule.
We're in a flow. We are flowing.
We are. So thank you as always, Hol.
Thank you. I love this conversation.